I thought I'd share with you a quick testimony tonight. I know a few people were asking me today, where are you from, who are you, and what's your plans? So look at John 15, John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and there's three verses, verses 14 to 16. Verse 14, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's speaking of the believer's relationship, even to other believers. But he says here, "Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Those are the words of the Lord there in those verses. Wonderful words of comfort, even to God's people. But I grew up, I'm sure as many of you have done, some of you at least, I grew up in a Christian home. And I also had the privilege of growing up in a home where even my own dad was a minister, is a minister even still today, in the Free Presbyterian Church. I grew up in the mainland, in Devon. In 1989, my dad moved over there. If you don't know him, he's David Smith over there in Adara now. But he moved there in 89, and me and my younger brother, we were born over there. Don't tell too many people that, by the way. But we were born in England, and we grew up there on the mainland. And of course, Dad being a minister, growing up in a Christian home, of course, we're sent along to church. We sent to Sunday school. There's children's meetings. There was no youth meetings as such then. I wasn't the age for that. But we went along to Sunday school and those different meetings. And one of the main things were that I remember most. Growing up in a family home, growing up with your dad being a minister and all, was that whenever we went out to school every day, we were always prayed with and read with. We always pointed to the Word of God. We had the Word of God opened and it was read, and we prayed together before we went out to school. And that was always a wonderful thing to think back on that at the time. It maybe didn't mean so much when you were growing up, but when you look back, you realise how having faithful parents that pointed you always to the Lord, you see how the prayers were answered and keeping us close with the Lord. You see that those times were vital in the family home, keeping us together as a family before God. But time went on, of course, and I came to the age of about seven, and some of the Greys here, they were over on holiday. You might remember, a few years ago now, 16 years ago. But I remember sitting down with one of them one night, and we were talking about stuff. I think this is right. I think it is. Long time ago. But yeah, we were sitting down, as far as I remember, and we were talking about hell. We were talking about sin and how if we don't repent of our sins, we'll be lost forever in hell. And so I began to get really convicted about this. It was the first time the Lord really spoke to me about that. And I think that night, I believe that night, I made a profession of faith in the Lord. Time went on, I don't know how long ago or long after it was, but I came back from Sunday school. I remember getting on my knees again and saying, "Lord, will you save me?" I hadn't got assurance. But I believe in around that time, the Lord planted that little seed. That seed was sown in my heart. I was convicted of sin. I realised that I needed to walk with the Lord. And as time went on, Dad received the call to go to Liverpool. Big football place there. But he received the call to go to Liverpool in the year 2000. And it was at that point I was finishing up primary school, going into secondary school. I was telling somebody today that we went to a secondary school where there was over 2,000 people in that school. And it was a big step to come out from a sort of a state country sort of place and be jumped right in to secondary school in the middle of a city, especially Liverpool. But, you know, the Lord began to give me a greater desire to study His Word, to read His Word, and have a desire to follow Him and want His will in my life. And of course, there was ups and downs. Of course, we always have ups and downs. And there's days you don't feel like doing too much. But you know, the Lord kept me through those years. And we had opportunities to witness to other friends in school. We didn't have many Christian friends. It was quite lonely at times. But you know, the Lord keeps those who are His, and He protects them, and He looks after them. So I made it through to 2005, and then I heard we were coming back to Northern Ireland again, where Dad still is there in Ardara. Somebody asked me today where it is. I couldn't really explain to them too well, but you can look it up on Google. It's not Ardara, and I think it's in the south. There's an Ardara there, but it's Ardara down near Freiland, near Newry area. And so he's been there today, there since the past 8 years or so. And so we ended up going to the Christian school for the last year and a half in Portadown. I finished my school years. I was glad of that. I was glad to get out of school. And I didn't know what to do. Didn't know where to go. Didn't know what direction to take. And I'm sure there's many young people here tonight. Maybe you're wondering what direction to take. Well, I didn't know. I had many different ideas about what I wanted to do. But, you know, I just went to the open day and the tech one day. And they said, what about building? I said, I'll have it. And for the next 4 years, I ended up building for 4 years. But you know, halfway through, this is where the Lord began to really speak to me, to call me out. 2 years after starting building, halfway through my building time that I did my apprenticeship and stayed on another year, the Lord began to speak to me. And I began to get involved in particularly youth work in the Free Church. Amongst the youth fellowships, the reach there in Portadown, and different areas of youth work in our churches with a children's meeting and different things. And I began to get a real love for it and a desire to work with the young people in our churches and teach them the scriptures, teach them the word of God. And so time went on and I began to think about Bible college. And I said, no, that's too big a step. I wanted to do something for the Lord, but I said, no way am I going to Bible college. And so I put it in the back of my mind, which we can do very, very easily, can't we? We stick it away out of the road, or we don't want to think about something that we don't want to do. But time went on, and I had the opportunity to go on a mission trip. And I went on that mission trip in the summer, and I actually went back in 2009 at the Christmas camp as well. And that was working with children, doing a Bible club with them. And I was at that camp, and before I went to that camp, I prayed, Lord, will you speak to me? I'm still thinking about college. It's come back to me about going to the Whitfield to do 2 years at the Whitfield. And Lord, I need you to speak to me this week. I wasn't that keen on going at the end of it on this trip. But, you know, I said, Lord, I'm going, so speak to me on this week. Show me something that will help me. And at the end of that week, there was a Polish leader who was looking after the kids that came along, who stayed over at the church. She came to me and she didn't speak any English. Awkward one. I didn't speak any Polish. Awkward one. But I had never had a conversation with her. And she came to me and she gave me some verses and she spoke to me through a translator. And it was very interesting that she gave me these verses here. And she told me that she believed the Lord had something for me. Now, I had never had a conversation with that woman. I don't even know the woman's name to this day. I never got it. I could probably go and find out. I just haven't got round to it. But there's verses here that she gave me. She gave me another one in Isaiah 30, verse 21, which says, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left, or to those words. And she said they mightn't mean anything to you, they mightn't direct you in the way that I think the Lord's directing you, but she said, pray over them. So in the beginning of 2010, I prayed over those verses and I said, Lord, speak to me, challenge me about Bible college. Is this what you want me to do? And it kept coming up in my head, and I don't think too much, but I kept thinking about it. It kept coming back and I had to think about it. And I went to college. I went for the interview in March of that year and started Bible college in September in 2010. So I did a 2-year missionary course. I finished last June. And I finished up my thesis, or I will be in the next few weeks at least, to finish it permanently, to get it finished. But I had the opportunity there actually to go to Tasmania before Christmas, beginning of October, right through to December for about 10 weeks or so. I had that opportunity to go there out to the church, which is in Kingston. Brother Colin, he's been out before I don't know exactly when, but he knows the people there and made a great time with them. Really great time getting to know them. It's wonderful to meet God's people even on the other end of the planet, and how they stand upside down day after day, year after year, I do not know. But it's wonderful to see the work of God going on, and I encourage you just to pray for Reverend Hall, and even Reverend Gardner as he's going to Perth, all being well. Pray for those men as they go out there, by the way. Pray that the Lord will lead them and open up that door, and that they'll be able to get out there soon. But there's opportunities have opened up, and the Lord has still got that burden in my heart to work even with the youth, even throughout our churches and out in society as well. We need to see the rising generation one for Christ. And I'm not going to be able to do it all on my own, and nobody else can do it all on their own, but we together, we can pray, and we can pray that the Lord will open up this door, and if it is the Lord's will to even go onto the board with this, if this is the Lord's will to do that, then you pray, Lord, if this is your will, let Johnny go out and go onto the board and work, even as a youth pastor, youth worker, whatever it might be. I don't know, but this is my burden, and I'm leaving it before you, and I trust you'll pray for me, that the Lord will direct me in this way. So that's a little bit about me and where the Lord, how the Lord has led me, and what I believe the Lord has for us in the future. I meant to mention, I always get told off for not mentioning this, but I met Grace, and she's not here tonight, thankfully, but I met Grace in Portadown School, Grace Baxter. She's related to Reverend Baxter down there in Ballinahinch. But we're getting married actually in May, so we met her along the way as well. And Hannah actually, she pointed the both of us together a few years ago. But it's amazing, you know, how the Lord leads you and guides you each step of the way, and many different avenues of your life. Many different things come and go in your life, and the Lord leads you in those paths. And so I just ask you to pray for us this year, pray for us for the next few years in His will, that He'll lead us in the right direction. Just to mention there's an announcement about an offering on Tuesday night about the Consider Christ campaign. There's an offering going to be held for it on Tuesday evening. Well, let's turn to John again, just to John 17, just over a couple of chapters from where we read. John 17, the Lord here prays for His disciples. You might remember the passage. Again, another wonderful passage of comfort, even for the believers in Christ. John 17, read from verse 14. The Lord prays to the Father, I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that Thou should take them out of the world, but that Thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray as we open up Your word tonight, that Thou wilt speak to us, challenge us through Your word. We pray that all that has been said and done already, Lord, will speak to hearts. We pray, Lord, that You will convict, Lord, souls of their sin. We pray, Lord, as we look at this passage, the Lord's prayer for His disciples, even as He was about to go now to the cross and He was about to return back to glory, His disciples were to continue on their ministry on earth, to go out and preach the gospel. Here they were. I'm sure they wondered, Lord. I'm sure they felt distraught, Lord, even that You had to go and leave them. But Lord, You gave them grace. You gave them help. And here You are praying for them. And we thank You, Lord, that even today You're still praying for Your people. We thank You, Lord, that our great High Priest is pleading the merits of His blood this very night. We thank You that Thou art on the throne and You remember Your own. You remember those of us who are saved tonight. And Lord, even those who are unsaved, You know each one who is still lost, who is still unsaved. And Lord, I pray that they will not be of the world. But Lord, we pray that they will just be in the world, and they will live for God,
and they will live to glorify His name. And we pray, Lord, You'll call people out from the world tonight. Save their souls. In Jesus' name. For Christ's sake. Amen.
Verse 15 is a key verse there. The Lord prays, I pray not that Thou should take them out of the world, but that Thou should keep them from the evil. Notice that Christ doesn't pray for His people. Basic point. He doesn't pray for His people to be taken out of the world, to be taken right out of the world and brought back to glory. The Lord didn't say that they'll never be able to cope. He didn't say that they'll never be able to stand for the faith. He didn't say the pressure of the world is too difficult for them, so take them out, bring them home to glory. No, He didn't. But He did say, keep them from the evil. Keep them from the evil, He said. Literally meaning from the evil one, which is the devil. Or from the evil deeds, which are the influences in the world. To sum up here, the Lord is praying, Father, keep them from the influences of evil that is in the world. That's basically what He's praying. The Lord realized there was pressure upon His people. Of course He did. He knew that the world, having hated Him, would also hate those who would profess to be followers of Him. That's why He said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. That's what He said there. Christ, He also knew the tactics of the devil. Didn't they remember when He was tempted? In Matthew 4, we read of the three temptations. He was tempted by the devil. He knew how the devil was a hindrance. We thought of that this morning. We thought about how the Lord, or how the devil, is in opposition to the Church of Christ. And He knew how the devil is a hindrance, even towards God's people. He acknowledged that there are many out doing the devil's work throughout society, trying to trip up God's people, even at every opportunity. Let's face facts about the age that we live in today. Let's ask ourselves tonight, what is influencing us in our lives? And I ask you, what is influencing you in your life? Whatever it is, it could be good or bad things, whatever it might be. What is influencing you? You know, today, we have the media. Today, the media. What is the media? Well, the definition of the media is a means of communication through radio, television, newspapers, magazines, all these things that reach or influence people widely. That's what it means. That's what media is. So you have TV. Inside the TV you have films and soaps, other programs. You have magazines. You have various different types of magazines. Good and bad magazines. You have the means of the internet. Good and bad things on the internet. You can have other things that we mentioned there. Through the radio. All of the things that we listen to. So music can even come into that. Even in regards to thinking about the radio. General technology. Now all of these things are not wrong in themselves, but it's how they're used, and it is what is presented through these things that can influence us in the good way, or can influence us in the bad way. Friends can influence us. Friends are a big factor in our lives, aren't they? We all have friends. Well, I have a few. I mentioned there I didn't have that too many in Liverpool, but you know, we all have a few friends. What about family? Family can influence us. Family can still influence us in the wrong way and in a good way. So there's different influences in our lives. So we need to realize, basic thought, that there are many influences in society which can cause us to make decisions. And it can cause us to form opinions. It can cause us to form views. But we need to be aware that if we make decisions based on the wrong influence, there comes consequences, doesn't there? There comes consequences. So if we are to be different in the world, we're thinking tonight about being in the world, but not of the world. So if we are to be different in the world and stand out as a different people, a people that is living to glorify God and strive after godliness, another thing we thought about this morning, we must look to God's word. We must get into the truth of God's word. And we must analyze the influences that are coming towards us in society alongside God's word to see whether they are scriptural, whether they agree with the biblical principles, the teaching of the word of God.
But before we get into this, look at verse 11. The Lord prays, "Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee." Here he was. The Lord is no longer going to be in the world. He's about to go to the cross. He's about to die to give his life for his very own people. Verse 16, he says about his people, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." So thinking of this thought of being in the world and not of the world, I want to think about the great challenge that there is to be different. The challenge to be different. And the trust that you, who are not yet saved, you will realize that you do need to not physically be lifted up out of the world, but you need to come out from the world, be separate from the world while you still live in the world. And I trust you'll get a grasp of that. So we're thinking about being different in the world, but more specifically, striving towards obedience. Striving towards obedience in a world of disobedience. In our secular world, in the secular world today, there's the pressure of wanting to follow other people's paths, isn't there? That always happens. We were thinking there are different influences that come upon us. But just to point out two or three other different things, maybe practical things, maybe even for the youth here to keep in mind. You think of how today in society it's very easy to follow people's particular fashion of clothes in particular I'm thinking about. But a particular fashion. But you think of general things like shoes and jeans and hoodies, makes of names of clothes, very different, all different things. But there's a warning, you know, following a particular fashion can lead to immodesty. You think of the rock and roll industry, and you think of what it represents. Much of the rock and roll industry and many other different things throughout the influences that come upon us, they represent an attitude of rebellion. And we're thinking about striving towards obedience. And so we need to be careful that we don't take up that attitude of rebellion. That's just one example. What about following other people's lifestyles? You can think of things, general things like homes that we have, cars, particular makes of cars and different things that we might have. But, you know, there's a warning there again. None of these things are wrong. But the pressure to have all the latest gear can lead to comfort and material things, which could make us unwilling to forsake all and follow him. Now, I'm getting married in a couple of months, all being well. Cousin's getting married, and we could have all the nice things laid out in the house. We're going about looking for things you could put in the home. But, you know, you need to remember, God calls you to go out. You need to forsake all and follow him. Practical. You think of following people's careers. There's a pressure to follow a particular career path today, whatever it might be, whatever company you might be in, because it's the way to go. It could steer you away from following the way God wants you to go. That can happen. I was doing a thesis there, I mentioned, on biblical counselling and going through different issues that particularly young people face in their teenage years. And somebody said, in regards to career decisions, that teens are pressured to make career choices before they are ready to do so. And that's a scary thing, to think that many young people can grow up in the world and they can realise a few years down the line that that was not where God wanted them to be. But they just did it because they were influenced by others. You see, it gets us thinking about these things. Are we in the will of God? Are we being obedient to God's word? Are we following him in his word and looking only to him? Obviously, we take advice from others around us, and God can use people, but we must be looking to the scriptures. But the worldview that I'm pointing out is to seek a life of self-ambition, to go in a direction that they want to go, to fulfill basically the desires of the flesh. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We have all disobeyed the law of God. We've all fell below the standard that God requires of mankind. We've all fell below that standard. So we have turned, we have sinned, we have disobeyed God, we have gone our own way, and that is in the flesh. The flesh doesn't strive towards holiness. Those who are saved, we can mortify the flesh. We can have victory over the flesh. But those who are still unsaved have that difficulty where they just fulfill the desires of the flesh. But if we are to be led by the Lord, we must be obedient to his plan and his will for our lives. So first little thought, just they're only quick little thoughts tonight, but being right in the truth. We need to be right in the truth if we are to strive towards obedience after Christ. Look at verse 17. The Lord prays, sanctify them through thy truth. In other words, set them apart. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God is the truth that the Lord Jesus is speaking about here. We are called to be set apart. We are called to be drawn further from the ungodly influences in the world and drawn closer towards the Lord Jesus Christ, walking after him in true obedience. We've established already that in the world today that there is a lot of wrong influence. And, of course, false teaching comes into that. So in order to strive after the Lord Jesus Christ in true obedience, do we not need to be able to recognize the wrong influences and false teachings that are presented before our lives? And so in order to do this, we need to have an accurate view of the biblical teaching. Jesus said, John 5 verse 39, he said, search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. They are they which testify of me. Search the scriptures. We need to be aware of the Bible's teaching through the warnings and advice which it presents to us. Paul warned the church at Galatia. If you want to turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 verse 19. Paul warned the church at Galatia about the works of the flesh. About the works of the flesh. Galatians 5 verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. Variance there speaking of contentions, arguments, emulations, which is speaking of jealousies, wrath, strife. Strife there speaking of self-ambition or selfish ambitions. Seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And so, one point of thought here is that there is a warning from God's word here about the works of the flesh, and it automatically really gets alarm bells ringing in our minds that we are vulnerable in the flesh before we even go anywhere. We thought about the influence that comes upon us. We thought about the evil that can get in, that can attack us, that is in the world. Those different things. But we are vulnerable in the flesh, and we need the Lord's grace as we look into the Word of God, as we look into the Scriptures. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, John said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Test the spirits, analyze the spirits. Those things that are out in society, analyze those things to see whether they are of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Paul told the church at Thessalonica to prove all things. Again, test all things, analyze all things, hold fast to that which is good. That's what he said. So we need to test and analyze the influences surrounding us to see whether they are of God. And for us to do this, we need to be guided through the Scriptures by being enlightened by the Holy Spirit. Do you ever read the Word of God? Do you ever take it and read it in your own private time? That's the wonderful thing about the Word of God. We have liberty to read it. God has given us this liberty. And I wonder, you who are unsaved, do you read the Word of God? In regards to the Word's view of the Bible, the fact is that many don't want to read it. Why? Because they don't want to believe in something which tells them what they really are. And that is that they're sinners. That they're lost. That they're separated from God. And that they're guilty before God's law. They don't want to read something that will tell them the truth. But you need to be right in the truth. And you need to believe that this is your problem. But if you are to follow Christ, You have to come out of the world. You have to come out from the world. You have to be separated from the world. While you will still be in the world, by God's grace, you will be kept from being a part of the world. What did Jesus say in verse 17? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You need to be set apart through the truth, the word of God. And you need to leave the ungodly influences that are in the world. You need to leave your sin. You need to repent and turn towards God and strive after Christ in true obedience. So we thought about being right in the truth. What about being real? It's good to be real. What about being real in our devotion? The Lord prays about his disciples. As we mentioned, we didn't read verses 6 and 8, but look at verse 6. He prays, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Verse 8, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. A couple of little thoughts there about the Lord having given the disciples the words, and how they had received them. That's the first little thought, and how they believed that the Father had sent the Son into the world. They believed that he was the true Christ. They believed that he was the true Messiah, the sent one from God, the one who was truly sent into the world by the Father. And if you're going to strive to be obedient, you need to be obedient to accept that Christ is the only one that can liberate you from being under the bondage of the law. You need to strive after Christ. You need to be obedient to God's word and realize that he is the only one that can save your soul from a lost eternity. You need to ask yourself some questions, even practically. Why in the world am I here? Think about it. Why are you here? Why are you in the world? What purpose is there for you even existing? Well, the Catechism, I think it's one of the first questions that it asks, what is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Is that not our purpose? Be real. Get a basic understanding about material things. The writer of Ecclesiastes in chapter 1, he mentioned about the cycle, the continual cycle of natural things. About, I think it's verse 6 or 7, he mentioned how the water comes off the mountains, the rain falls upon the mountains, the water comes off the mountains into the valleys and goes down the rivers and goes out into the sea. It goes back up and starts again. He talked about the cycle of natural things. And he was basically pointing out, what is it all about? What is it all about? And he came to the conclusion about, or he went on to talk about striving for greatness in the world. And after talking about that, he came to the conclusion that all is vanity. Everything is vapor. It just passes away. We're only here for a short time. And that is a simple truth, that everything in this world is only temporal. And you need to remember that everything that we have in this life, all the possessions that we own, it's all going to be burnt up. We mentioned in the home this afternoon about what Job said. Naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. He was talking about how we come into the world with nothing. We go out of the world with nothing, unless we have Christ. Think of Abraham. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Think about how he was real in his devotion. Hebrews chapter 11. Remember, it's a great chapter of faith. It talks about the faith of different men throughout the Word of God. But Hebrews 11 and verse 8 speaks of Abraham. By faith, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And here it is in verse 10. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham must have been like a, he must have felt like a drop in the ocean. But he was genuine in his walk with the Lord. He was obedient in a dark world. He was living in a place of idolatry. The place which he lived in had all turned towards idolatry. They were not focusing on God, but he heard the call of God, and he heard the call of it, and he followed after God. And he was obedient to the will of God. Abraham's heart was steered from the sin of idolatry, and it was pointed towards the path of God's righteousness. He was looking, he was literally waiting for a city which hath foundations. What was he waiting for? What was he looking for? Yes, he was going to Israel, but he was waiting for heaven. He was waiting for that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. When God called Abraham in Genesis 12, he promised the blessing of Christ through his seed, through his family. He promised that Christ would come. And when he heard the call of God and he heard that Christ would come through his seed, he put legs to his prayers. He turned around. He turned around away from sin. He got his eyes off the influences of the world, and he got his eyes focused on the once for all sacrifice for sin. He got his eyes focused on the coming Christ who would bear away the sin of the world. A.W. Tozer, he said, in one of his books, he said, "The man that believes will obey." You come to the word of God having the desire to believe it, you will obey it. "Failure to obey," however, he says, "failure to obey is convincing proof that there is no true faith present." And that really sums up the unbeliever. Failure to obey is convincing proof that there is no true faith present. We talked about Talkative this morning, the character in Pilgrim's Progress. He was all talk about religion, but he had no heart religion. His works, his outward display, his fruits did not weigh up to his conversation, to what he knew in his heart, in his mind even. But A.W. Tozer said, "To attempt the impossible, God must give faith, or there will be none." See, faith comes from the Lord. And you need to pray for the Lord as you come with an obedient attitude to God's word, that the Lord will open up your heart. He went on to conclude, he gives faith to the obedient heart only. That means for you to turn away from sin. That means for you to look to Christ and have true repentance, wanting Christ to fulfill his plan even in your life. Last little thought. What about being ready to serve? Being right in the truth, being real in devotion. What about being ready to serve? Look at verse 18. What a great motivation about what the Lord prayed. "As thou hast sent me into the world," the Lord prays to the Father. "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." Being ready. Being ready involves us being willing to follow the leading of God wherever he would lead us to go, trusting that his ways are completely perfect. This is being obedient. This is being different from the world. This will involve shutting down our self way of thinking, dying to self ambitions and desires and motives. I'm not telling you not to enjoy life here. We are to enjoy life to the full, but we can enjoy it in Jesus Christ. But we are to shut down those self things and have our hearts steered completely towards God and strive after him. Turn to Romans 12. Romans chapter 12 and the verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and the verse 1. I'm trying to show you here, especially even you who are unsaved, and to God's people, but to you who are unsaved, I trust you get the message here that there is to be a change. It's not even just to say a little prayer even tonight and then tomorrow forget all about it. There's a change. There's a going on with God, striving after God. Where were we? Romans 12, verse 1. Paul writes here, under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." The word there, reasonable, is our word logical, or comes from a Greek word which is logical. So it's logical. If seeing what Christ has done, seeing what he has done on the cross for his people, it is logical that his people go on with God and serve him and be obedient to him. It says in verse 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Be not conformed to this world. We're finishing up here. Look at verse 19 in John 17. Jesus speaks about himself here. Just to finish with these words. "For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also," speaking of his disciples, "that they also might be sanctified through the truth." Jesus Christ, he was set apart for a great work. He was set apart for the great work of going to the cross and laying down his life on the cross at Calvary to shed his blood so that men and women can have forgiveness of sins. And sinner, tonight, realize this. The blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to cover all of your sins. I wonder, will you accept of God's mercy? Will you come by faith? Will you be obedient to the scriptures? Be not conformed to this world, but be renewed in your mind by the Holy Spirit. Pray for God to give you faith. As we live in a world, we can enjoy wearing nice clothes. We can enjoy owning personal possessions, wanting to do well in a career. But let God's word be your influence. Let God's principles help you to make decisions. Let the word of God be the guide of your life. If we walk in the light of God's word, following his principles and being obedient to his call, we can be examples to those in the world who are still of the world.